This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2339. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave, between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded March 19th. Chile, Cuba, Greece, Iran, Israel, Japan, Korea North, Madagascar, Malaysia, Nigeria, North America, Romania, Samoa, Scotland, Sweden, Tibet, Turkey, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, there's a low power, presumably unlicensed station in Chile called RCW. It stands for Radio Compañía Worldwide. Hardly ever reported from North America, but it's reported from within Chile at least, and you might want to give it a try. It's on 7535. Claudio Galas in Chile reports it March 8th at 2349 with music. The IB list shows it could be on the air between 20 and 01 UT. As you may have heard, there was a total blackout in Cuba on March 16th due to the U.S. energy blockade. And of course, that meant operations on radio were even less reliable than usual. Radio Atlanta Cuba off the air, as well as the other stations. Many of us were trying to hear them and waiting to see when they would come back. Tony Pavic, NBC, says it appears the collapse of the power grid occurred after 14 UT, as I logged RHC on 11760 at that hour. And for a while longer, websites were still up, some with audio, some without, but that may have been because they were hosted outside Cuba. Marshall Real in Maryland says the live stream from Radio Rebelde was active March 16th at 2200. Around 0210 UT, March 17th, I found no RHC frequencies, Rebelde, or CRI relays. Due to the island-wide apagón, I don't usually have any clear signal there from Cuba on medium wave, but the most obvious absence was 530, Radio Enciclopedia, which is not an encyclopedia. By March 19th, when I checked at 1450, RHC was back on air with its usual total wastage of the watts, dead air only, on 11760, and with some wind howl on 15140. Also, I saw a report somewhere that big baseball championship game in Miami, which Venezuela won, was being carried both on Radio Rebelde and Radio Martí on 1180, with different announcers, of course. In DX fanzine, Antonello Napolitano reports on 729 kHz. ERT Greece is back on the air. It had been missing for a while, but he says the power seems to be much lower than the 100 kilowatts which had been listed. During its absence, it was possible to DX Radio Kano from Nigeria and Cape Pulpit from South Africa. Mauro Rito says 729 still carries ERT News Radio. Greg Hardison was hearing a Greek station on 1305 kilohertz via a remote and was wondering which one it is. Mauro Rito says it's in Tripoli, Greece, and it's carrying the ERA Zeppelin network rather than news radio as before. Or rather, as in MW List, 1305 may be carrying either network depending on the time. Of course, there continues to be great interest in broadcasts from and to Iran. Tarek Zaidan in Cairo says, I picked up the Arabic section of IRAB with fair audio for a change on 11690. Around 09 UT. They used to be on 15135, but with no audio. It was not even on the air now. Idun's medium wave info has extensive news about the broadcasting scene in Iran. For example, Tringer Laszlo in Hungary reported on March 7th. After the bubble jammer switched off, I observed two regionals on 1548 kHz against VOA in Farsi. I heard the joint regional program with a slight echo, or at least two regional stations are working on it. Listed is Radio Haravaran. Radio Iran was present too on 1548 under the mess. So there is a new method for jamming in Iran, moving regional stations to the desired frequency. Radio Ilam did the same. It moved to 1395 from 1044 kHz, causing interference on stations broadcasting from Armenia on 1395.
On March 12th, Chris Greenway in England informed us about additional BBC medium-wave broadcasts to Iran, alongside the existing 702 from Oman and 1395 from Armenia. BBC has now added 720 from Cyprus and 1296 from Tajikistan for its Persian broadcasts. On March 16th at 1452, I was getting a barely audible carrier on 15750.1. Iran International TV has been listed there via Bulgaria. However, since this was slightly off frequency, it might have been a jammer. In any event, by March 18th, Iran International TV had moved to 15730. Or at 1447, I was measuring about 80 hertz above that frequency, even with heavy bubble jamming when monitored via the remote in Holland. But back on March 12th, Terry Kruger in Florida reported Iran International TV via Bulgaria, measured on 15730.29. Alan Holder on the Isle of Man says the change to 15730 was first made on March 12th, and the other daytime frequency, 17900, is never blocked. Obviously, the Islamic Republic has only a limited number of jammers available. But Iran International seems to be more aggressively interfered with compared to Radio 4 Dahl. The night frequency of Iran International TV, 5885, shifted to 5890.3, says Terry Kruger in Florida, March 14th at 0344, as tipped by David Crawford. In the British TX Club, Bill McDavid reported that another clandestine station, Radio Zaman Bidari via France, had a rare segment in English during their March 12th broadcast introducing Reza Pahlavi as the person who will take over if the present Iranian regime falls apart. And he put a 4-minute recording of that at swlqslmuseum.com. As for the Farsi numbers station, Richard Langley says, on 7842, March 15th at 1800, there was no bubble jamming, but on March 19th, the jamming started about 1858 and continued for about an hour. Then on the morning transmission at 0200 UT, 17 March, he did not notice any bubble jamming. And on March 18th, Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight says the Iranian language number station was back on its original frequency, 7910, with no jamming. I wonder if they're alternating between those two frequencies. Jamming monitors are slow to find frequency changes. The A26 HFCC schedules are now available. They go into effect on March 29th. Stephen Luce says, checking the NHK listings, no transmissions listed via Issoudun, France anymore. Everything from Yamata, 0500 English to Africa, is gone. English to Asia at 1400 moved to 11800. And the former 11815 frequency is listed with Japanese at that hour. However, Jean-Michel Aubier says, in A26, NHK has 4 registered transmissions via Now in Germany, at 1-3 on 9400, 3-4 on 11960, and 4-5 on 13750, all in Japanese, and 0430 on 6165 in Russian. Stephen Luce says, if a new French government decides to kill Radio France International, and we could be looking at that in 2027, it would probably mean the end of the Issoudun site, which could be renamed It Is Done. In DX fanzine, Antonello Napolitano says, I can confirm on 945 and 1287 kHz the reactivation of Galed Sahal in Israel, the army radio station, whose closure had been scheduled for March 1st. Evidently, the war with Iran has caused a change of plans. Se-kyung of the Northeast Asian Broadcasting Institute in South Korea says, Kenneth Bae, B-A-E, a Korean-American missionary, detained in North Korea for 2 years, has opened a broadcasting station. He is active as a North Korean human rights activist in South Korea, and his studio is in Seoul. The Korean language service began on March 15th via Taiwan 200 kilowatts, 1730 to 18, Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday on 5920, and 14 to 1430 UT on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, on 7200. He issues an EQSL card, reports to nkhb316@gmail.com. Ron Howard monitored these new broadcasts right away on Sunday, March 15th. NKHB on 5920, by the way, a frequency formerly used by the defunct Voice of Freedom. the South Korea Ministry of National Defense, a Fisher suspended broadcast of that. But this one came on at 1730 UT via Taiwan, heard via remote in Japan. Mostly announcers and played one easy-listening song, a good number of NKHB IDs, and he said he plans to provide online content for North Korean residents living abroad. And broadcasting is almost the only channel through which we can connect with North Korean residents right now. Studying the A26 HFCC schedule, Stephen Luce says, I don't see any cuts to BBC World Service in English, which is good news. The 0400 hour from Madagascar on 12095 is back, usually the easiest to hear BBC WS in North America. Ron Howard in California has continued monitoring the new Malaysian shortwave frequencies via remotes over there. On March 17th, from midnight 50 past 0455 UT, both are being heard 11885 RTM Sabah 5 FM and 15295 RTM National FM. Sabah had poor audio quality. On March 18th, both were being heard with good audio, 11885 from 345 to 352, with easy listening Chinese songs, 15295 from 0352 in vernacular, with a long list of radio stations and news at 0400. Stand by for shortwave to resume from Nigeria. In shortwave bulletin, Franz Blecker reports, a German technician was or still is reportedly active from Lugbe under the Nigerian call sign 5N7QBR. His German call is DF8DX, where he works to restore the 250 kilowatt transmitter. According to the magazine Funk Amateur, there are several technicians at work at the Lugbe site with a well-known rotational antenna plus several curtain antennas. A company called Confax Nigeria Limited was reported as contractor in the Lugbe Station Recovery Project last year. And also via shortwave bulletin, a different report, Voice of Nigeria Director General Malam Jibrin Baba Ndase paid a visit to Abdullahi Sule, governor of Nasarawa State, according to PR Nigeria in February. Ndase's visit comes across as part of his campaign to drum up support for the external radio service, notably his plans to revive its 250 kilowatt Lugbe shortwave transmitter and antenna rig. Ndase was appointed by President Tinubu in October 2023 and has, in his own words, recorded milestones. He says the shortwave transmitting project in Lugbe is set to restore one of the most powerful broadcasting facilities on the African continent with modern, digitally compatible technology. The article's wording seems to suggest, however, that the governor was more interested in VON plans to introduce a Mandarin service, given the presence of Chinese-owned mining companies operating in Nasarawa State. But the long time the station has been out of use and the time the project has taken so far suggests that getting it done is not a piece of cake. I suggest you frequently check 9025 AM for that presidential pirate from somewhere in the U.S., airing speeches or portions of them by JFK and FDR. I tuned across at 1844 UT March 19th and heard it for less than a minute before it went off. Anfilioza in Florida recommends some times to listen to Romania for lots of music on their domestic service relay from the Actualitatsi network. Under the current scheduling, may change after March 29th, he suggests 01 to 03 UT on 9700 for folk, classical, and jazz on weekends. 05 to 06, 6145 during their morning drive time, and 14 to 16, 17790 in the afternoon, if WRMI is not in the way. Via BCDX, we have the 826 schedule for Radio Romania International, including English to North America. At 2030 on 21480 and 15420 and 15130. At midnight to 1 UT on 11900, 11620. And the same again at 0300. There are also a number of broadcasts for Western Europe, which are essentially in the same direction as North America. In southwest Canada, via its multiple antennas on Haida Gwaii Island, while Somedy accomplishes some excellent medium wave DXing. For example, on March 17th, he says, tuning around this morning, I noted a super powerful signal playing island music on 539.9998. continuous music between 09 and sudden cutoff at 11:02:36 UT. It can't be anyone else but 2PA and Apia Samoa. What an awesome signal. It would be nice if they'd ID at sign-off. Normally I hear CBK or Tijuana on this frequency, but not this morning. Via International Vacuum Internet, MF, HF, and VHF, World of Radio 2339, a non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for generous financial support from Gerald T. Pollard in North Carolina, who sent a seasonal check marking the vernal equinox to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute, not necessarily in U.S. funds, via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Scotland none. Updating last week's item about Radio 6 International, Tony Curry on Digital Spy reports, via Mike Barraclough, there's been a one-week delay in starting. Radio 6 International begins regular weekly transmissions on 1467 kHz from Roumoule, France, on Saturday, 21 March, with a power of 1,000 kilowatts from 23 to 24 GMT. For the first 2 weeks, the hour will be 11 to midnight in the UK and midnight to 1 a.m. Sunday in Europe. After the clock change, however, it will stay at the same universal time, that is, seemingly 1 hour later by the local clocks. In the medium wave circle, Paul Crankshaw in Scotland reports hearing Waltzing Matilda being played on 1440 kHz from 2258 to 2314 UT on the 13th of March. Who on earth could this be? We say, surely not Australia. And John Faulkner replied that it's the interval signal of Asfalttelegrafen in Sweden. Andy Lavendel replies, our Swedish friends at Asfalttelegrafen have moved to this frequency. Temporary license allows for a few separate slots on the air. Has been using the same musical signature tune when on 1494, generating some turmoil, but eventually he decided to stick to it. Medium Wave News has a report from RSF that in under a year, CNR China expanded its Tibetan language programming from one programmee to 17, according to the winter season HFCC schedule. This dramatic scale-up comes alongside suspension of Tibetan services of RFA and VOA, without which there is currently almost no counter-voice capable of challenging the Chinese regime's propaganda in Tibet, glorifying the Communist Party, promoting ethnic unity, and attributes any dissent to hostile external forces. It is not clear exactly what they mean by 17 programmees, is it? Transmissions, frequencies, or individual shows? Via BCDX, here's the 8:26 English schedule from Voice of Turkey, which seems quite similar to what happened 1 year ago. Effective March 29th, 12:30 on 17620, 16:30 on 11660, 18:30 on 9750, 20:30 on 9875, 22 to North America, 11785, 03 to North America, 7275, and to Asia, 6165. In the shortwave sites group, Dave Porter, G4OYX, comments on life after RF output, that is, what has become of some former shortwave sites. I was poking about on Google Maps and noticed some interesting developments. What was BBC, Babcock, and Rambisham, UK, has been left as an empty field, and what was to be a planned development on the old site of solar panels under British Solar has been affected on the other side of the A356 road at two separate sites. Other users have taken over the transmitter buildings, including an ice cream manufacturer. And what was in effect, the antenna field has been populated fully with solar panels at Jülich and Wächtachtel, Germany. Via Richard Langley, a report from the Public Accounts Committee of the UK Parliament. The BBC World Service is at risk of losing its position as the most trusted international broadcaster, as it is unable to present a strong case for future investment. BBCWS performs a critical role in providing news and programming around the world, often in areas of declining media freedom. reaching an average weekly audience of 313 million in 43 languages. The service is a crucial soft power instrument for the UK government. However, the Public Affairs Committee has found that the service is in danger of losing ground to its rivals, driven in part by increased international media spending of state actors such as Russia and China. And it goes into considerable detail about the actual funding numbers. And via Mike Terry, a story by Carly Page in the Register. BBC World Service digital switch backfires as online audience drops. Britain's push to drag the BBC World Service into the digital age has not gone quite to plan. MPs warning the broadcaster's digital-first strategy has shrunk audiences rather than growing them. Instead of rising, the World Service's digital audience fell 11% to 131 million since 2021. Tony Pavick, NBC, comments, in a relative sense, radio is easy. Digital, be it via phone or tablet or PC, is difficult. For radio, all one must do is switch it on and twiddle a dial. Nothing to install. No geo-blocking. Use of a single-purpose device and no usage costs. Digital requires downloading an app or migrating to and knowing a website to go to. Has geo-blocking and is subject to internet availability. A device that is first and foremost something other than a radio. And there are service fees. Do they really expect that a population in peril or in non-urban areas would be willing to jump through the hoops of digital? What you have here is a bunch of people who, like the burgee in a cage, are fascinated by the shiny of a toy and are so narrow-minded that they think they, just because they sit on the tube, as they may be able to listen to a podcast, that everyone has the same techno background and same life circumstances. Tell that to a person in a refugee camp. Only radio can consistently deliver content in a simple and easy-to-access way that is within reach of everyone. Via Mike Cooper, a report in The Guardian of March 12th. Google's former Europe boss close to becoming next head of BBC. Appointment of Matt Britton, that's B-R-I-T-T-I-N, as director general would be the latest sign of big tech's power in the media world. During a last-minute development, he will succeed Tim Davey as the next director general. About transmission sites of U.S. AGM, I'm looking at the A26 HFCC schedules. I see a huge number of registrations for Kuwait, quite a few for Tanang, Philippines, and Greenville, that's Radio Marti, but no other sites. However, I understand that Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and Radio Free Asia, whatever's left of them, are not included in U.S. AGM registrations. Following up last week's last-minute news via David Cole and Mike Cooper from The Washington Post about Trump naming a new head for VOA's parent agency after the court rebuked Carrie Lake. That is Sarah B. Rogers, a State Department official. While her nomination is pending before the Senate, Michael Regas, another State Department official, will serve as acting CEO of U.S. AGM. Mike Cooper points out that a new episode of On the Media from WNYC is all about VOA. It's titled A Good Sign for the VOA, available as a podcast from WNYCstudios.org. Via David Cole, Mike Cooper, and Richard Cuff, we refer you to several major mainstream media stories this week along these lines. The Washington Post, judge reinstates 1,000 Voice of America employees and deems the wind-down illegal. From CNN, March 17th, judge orders Voice of America staff reinstated, reversing Trump's shutdown. From TheGuardian.com, judge orders more than 1,000 Voice of America employees to be reinstated. Republican appointee rules attempts to shutter federal agency are illegal and mandates workers return by 23 March. New York Times, judge orders Voice of America to restart all news operations. But Greg Hardison comments, I would prefer to see the VOA die on the vine and flushed into history than to become an HF shortwave version of the same endless BS with which we are bathed daily on the domestic medium wave band. Bill Telford says, maybe this is not fixable with the existing cast of characters. Here's where it all gets messy. The courts can bring a thing this far, but enforcing an amorphous thing like objectivity as defined in the existing charter is likely beyond its reach. I can see even a reasonable person having misgivings about a taxpayer-funded government broadcaster telling the world that a POTUS, any POTUS, is lying. And lying, alas, has become normalized over the last few decades, although the current administration has admittedly made it a low art form, especially with Venezuela and Iran. How can even a well-intentioned management navigate this? And in Washington Post, March 19th, how Kari Lake's dismantling of VOA unraveled in court. Sheldon Harvey says, what about the fire sale of VOA equipment? Did any of that actually happen? Stephen Michael Kellott says the fire sale is still listed on Rasmus Auctions, but is still marked as halted. After the court's decision, I do not see it being resumed. VC Monitoring reported in late February that Radio Free Asia had partially resumed Uyghur language broadcasts. However, it's not clear to me that these are actually on the radio. WTWW still hasn't been able to get the 5085 transmitter working again. Bob Meerman replies to me about that. The truth is that the number of us that can work on these transmitters shrinks every day. It is beyond critical. Last week I needed to call Continental Electronics for a part for WRMI. Continental is the last remaining U.S. shortwave transmitter manufacturer. Nobody would answer the phone. I tried for several days. I hear they may be exiting the shortwave sector. That means no more custom parts. I believe only China, India, and a very expensive European company with a 3-year lag time. Richard Langley says it's important to send reports to the remaining shortwave stations to let them know there are still people listening. We should do this even if we're not QSL chasers. Bill Tolford says there is a generation gap. How many 25-year-olds do you think are watching TRT World or DW in the U.S. online? Richard Langley replies, I've already asked my undergraduate students if they own a radio. Virtually 100% said no. Of course, not realizing that their smartphone contains a number of radios, I'll ask them if they stream any radio stations. I'll bet they all say none. Bill Tolford replies, it would be interesting to learn how many of them access foreign news sources, France 24, DW, TRT, or anything at all, be it TV, websites, whatever. My gut tells me that that will also bring a sobering answer, but I would love to be wrong. Ken Zicke of Michigan has been vacationing in the Florida Keys. He says, the only station on Marathon Key is Radio Marti. There is a public radio station, WKWM 91.5, operated by the Miami-Dade School Board, City of License Marathon, but it's actually further west on Ramrod Key. 1600 WKWF Key West, with strange instrumental, easy listening, and weird reggae-style stuff. They stream, so if you're interested in hearing odd stuff, check out WKWF. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued March 16th. ANKNC is peaking at 35 and 5 March 21st, 20 and 5 on April 4th, 25 and 5 on April 9th. Quietest dates of 8 and 3 or 5 and 2 March 27th to 29th, April 1st, 2nd, 5th, 7th, and 8th. Solar flux rising from 100 March 21st to 140 by April 3rd, and down to 125 by April 9th. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser here concluding, World of Radio 2339. With a standard disclaimer.